This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode 29, like the WrestleMania I was at, of your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. Got a great show for you tonight. We are, whatever the hell it is, 20 something days till WrestleMania, whatever the hell it is. Still got a lot to talk about, and let me bring in the core 3+1. Because for the second show in a row, we are big-timed by the Benjamins. But we'll talk about him later. Let's bring in the conscience of Place to Be Nation, a all-time contributor, and he is the Ricky Steamboat of Place to Be Nation. When he's a heel, it's very awkward. Mr. Steve Willey.
I had a bad case of the Benjamins the other day.
We all wish we had more Benjamins. No. Steve, always good to have you on.
Thanks.
Another guy who's the opposite end of the spectrum, when he's a babyface, it's awkward. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
You could have called me the Rick Rude because I am currently wearing tights with Ben's face on them.
On the front of the back.
Yes.
To wrap around.
To wrap around.
Yeah. So to speak.
JD, always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Bookie of the Bayou, who, of course, I was just talking about how I still hate Gonzaga. Getting pumped up for our next episode of the Place to Be big episode. Well, I shouldn't say next, but our big episode of the Place to Be podcast next Monday night. Danger Reach.
So I'm the Ernest Miller of Place to Be Nation, only I'm not black and I don't have blonde hair.
And nobody cares about you. No.
Well, we have that in common.
Do you have any friends named Lamont?
No, I was about to sing the Sanford and Son song. All right, Reach, pleasure as always. Pinch hitting for the Benjamins. Ben Morse not with us tonight. He is off on business, but he has promised he will be back for our next show, which is our big-time WrestleMania preview, and he'll have a special guest with us, I believe. But joining me is a guy who's just as good, and his face is on everybody's tights. He is the co-host of the History of Wrestling podcast. He's the co-host of Wrestling with Optimism. He is, of course, the purveyor of the history of WWE.com. He's moved up in the world. He doesn't have house shows on his bathroom wall anymore. They are in his study. The Broham, Mr. Graham Cawthon. Welcome back.
I'm a replacement. I'm a replacement again.
You're the replacement for the replacements.
So I'm like...
Stutz says you're a replacement, too, for Jimmy Valiant.
Just to paint a picture, I'm drinking Maker's Mark out of the bottle.
Nice. Is that the one with the wax top? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Tremendous. Well, we'll be drinking a lot of Maker's Mark on the morning of March 30th after... what we watched that night, but
really? Graham, you think so?
Yeah, Graham, always a pleasure, man. It's always good to have you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I wanted to kind of free flow this tonight because we'll get into some news and notes around the other promotions. We'll talk about Samoa Joe, who looks like he's on the verge of going to WWE. He should make his debut the same night that TNA airs his last match, which is like 7 weeks ago or something.
In about three months.
Which would be June.
Yeah. Which would be even better.
He'll probably be beating Kurt Angle for the title by the time he's there.
Yeah. Let's start with Raw. Did everybody watch it?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of did.
I didn't hate it.
I did. I don't know if everybody watched it.
I didn't hate it. You watched it, Graham. Did you watch it, JD?
You know, I watched enough of it. Following Graham on Twitter makes Raw a lot more fun with his live
tweets.
Thank
you.
Your tweets are fantastic, bro.
They are fun. They're fun.
They are fantastic. Overall, the show was not terrible. Had some good matches.
I would say 2 weeks in a row, it hasn't been terrible.
Yeah, it hasn't been terrible. The Randy Orton beatdown at the end was like watching paint dry. And why are they blowing it with him, too? Orton, to me, let's talk about Randy Orton for a minute. Randy Orton, to me, and I think we talked about this in the last couple of, I think the last time Ben was on, which seems like Halloween. We talked about sorry, Ben, I had to throw that one dig, but you know you're still my favorite person on the planet. We talked about how, to me, Randy Orton is like a – not a low rent, but he's a lot like Steve Austin in the sense that you don't really want him to be one side or the other. Just do his own thing, and depending who he goes after is what the fans will clamor to. That's how they should have treated this. Instead of coming back and having this subversive, kind of like Punk in the New Breed in 2000 – whatever the hell it was, 2007, he should have come out RKO somebody, leave. Come back, RKO Rollins, leave. We didn't need walking around for 9 minutes looking, glaring, you know, oh, a table. What should I do on that table? Let's take everything off. Let's put Rollins on it. What am I going to do on this? And everyone's like, oh, for fuck's sakes, just RKO him, for God's sakes. All right. And he did. Is that the problem here? Should Randy Orton be more of a hit and run kind of babyface, and is him being on TV too long kill his buzz way too quickly? Broham, I'll start with you.
I thought about this as well. I was talking earlier this week about it, and you could have easily brought Randy back at any point between, you know, when he did come back and almost as far back as Survivor Series, and have done that. And the way that they brought him back, and he's portraying to play nice, and he's part of the authority, sure, I'll do whatever. We all kind of saw through that to the point where we're sitting on our couches at home going, have these people never watched wrestling before? You know, he's going to turn on them. Have they never watched wrestling before? So that part I wasn't a big fan of. But what we saw on Monday, I loved, because what they had done is for weeks – we waited for him to do something. We thought it was going to happen the night he came back. Nope. Thought the next week, whatever.
Right.
And so what they have done is they built it to a crescendo to the point where he does do it and the whole crowd loses their shit.
Right.
And was it overkill what Orton did to Rollins? I don't know, because, I mean, it was said pretty clearly, you know, he tried to end his career. And now Orton, you know, during that whole segment was saying, you think, you know, we're BFF? We are not BFF. And just beats the tar out of him in the crowd, in the ring, around ringside, and then the RKO on the table. And I will say that after that, despite the weeks of let's go ahead and do it, turn, after that whole segment, I am more interested to see that match than I was before.
Okay.
Because they did what I think we criticize them a lot for not doing, which is long-term storytelling. They could have done that on week one. Would we have cared as much?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Willie, what do you think?
Well, I think the enjoyable part about what happened on Monday was the beginning part where Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury were just like, he's going to turn on you guys. You know he's going to turn on us. Refuse to play nice when he claimed he was joking, Orton. And so basically playing along to what all of us knew, as Graham was saying all along, that they were, you know, we're just waiting for it to happen. We are Noble and Mercury. We are them. The audience is them. They are. I think that's probably thinking way too much into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're giving them way too much credit.
They are the voice of the people.
Yeah.
The downside of it is the story was already written for them. They had all this free publicity earlier this year. Or was it early this year or late last year with the RKO out of nowhere? They're actually using that now in their advertising. They're selling shirts based out of it. And RKO out of nowhere for a few segments. They'll be talking for about 20 minutes first. Then there'll be a beatdown segment at the end for about 10 minutes. You know, it goes against how you're marketing him as.
Right. Okay. JD, what do you think?
The only point I would disagree with Graham on is he said, you know, they could have had...
You're not allowed to do that.
Well, yeah, really. What is wrong with you?
Take a drink, Graham.
All right. I'll be over here.
But he said, you know, they could have done that the night he came back. They did. That's the part that sticks out to me, is he came back at Fastlane and did RKO all of them. And then the next night, it was just like they pushed a reset button. And that's the part that I think is like a real... bump in the road of the story. If you didn't have him come back at Fastlane and announced he was coming back on Raw and everyone's like, he's going to come kill Seth Rollins, but he came back and played nice, then I think it wouldn't be as frustrating to some people. I'll answer to your original question, Scott. I don't think that they should turn him necessarily babyface. I think he should be like doing like you said, striking, showing up, RKO the Big Show, RKO Kane. Have him RKO some babyfaces too. That's what people like about him, you know? You got a match with, I don't know, Rollins and Eric Rowan. Have him RKO both of them. I think people would dig that if he just didn't care who he, you know, he just came and killed whoever he saw. I think that's the best way to use Randy Orton. He's not a good clear-cut babyface. Tweener is where he needs to be.
Mm-hmm. And not to interrupt or anything, but I will say that I've noticed that not they treat, but Orton has a much stronger presence than what you will see from the other guys on the roster. Mm-hmm. Orton can say bitch. Orton can throw up the two middle fingers. They won't show it, but he can do it. Mm-hmm. You don't see anyone else on the roster doing that.
I thought of that too, actually, Graham, when he did the double ups, I actually thought that too. I'm like, yeah, no one else can. I don't even think Cena's allowed to do that. Well, he would look like an idiot. Speaking of look like an idiot, we'll get to him in a minute. He's my second point.
I do think that long beatdown was a little too long. It started off really good too, like those when he was slapping Rollins in the face. That was really loud and intense sounding, but it just went too long, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Reesh, what do you think?
I actually agree with Jordan on this one. You know, Graham was talking about the fact that they could do a long-term storyline, and that's why he liked the whole Randy Orton coercing himself back into the Authority so that he could play mind games on Rollins, and it worked. It worked in its own way, but I really think that they probably could have just, if they wanted to be more consistent with the way it was, when Orton departed, when Rollins took him out, he was like a crazy person. He was out like trying to kill Seth Rollins at every opportunity he could. And when he came back at Fastlane, he does the same thing. And then all of a sudden you twist the story so that Randy Orton, I want to outsmart Seth Rollins from within. And it's like, you can make it work because Orton is a really psychologically based type of character, but it, along with the RKO out of nowhere stuff on Vine that's made him popular in the mainstream, I guess. I don't know if that's really that much of an influence anyway, but you could have done it where he just comes in, bang, RKO, come in, bang, RKO. And you could have done that for about 5 or 6 weeks, you know, given that there's also that one less week going into WrestleMania because it's in late March. I think you could have done that for 4 weeks or 5 weeks and kept it fresh instead of drawing in this mini storyline that nobody's going to remember in 3 months about how Randy Orton faked that he was going to rejoin the Authority. I do think it had that little, you know, that joke in The Simpsons where they're beating the shit out of the guy and the kid says, "Stop, he's already dead." That's kind of like the same. That's kind of like the same thing I felt when I was watching the Rollins beatdown. But it did serve as justice for what Rollins did to Orton, because when Rollins put out Orton, it was nasty. He was bleeding everywhere, and he took him out. So it was over long, but it did serve a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still looking forward to the match at the end of the day, but I do feel like squeezing that tiny storyline that they did in there after Fastlane was kind of unnecessary.
Hmm. Have they officially announced Orton Rollins? I don't think
not
officially
yet, but
put on the card.
He did though. He's got a sit-down interview with Michael Cole that will air on SmackDown. I would have to think they're going to announce the match.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be announced by the weekend. You said, Graham, you look forward to that match. I kind of do too.
Well, I look forward to it now more than I did before that segment.
Mm.
Before that segment, I'm kind of sitting on my hands about it. After that segment, okay, let's see what. Let's see where they go from here.
Mm.
Because here's my long-term thought here is I'm still of the belief that at the end of the night at WrestleMania, it could be Rollins with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, that could be your world title program right there is Rollins and Orton.
Okay.
Do you know what's funny is that segment almost – I don't want to say I don't want to see the match, because I do want to see the match, but it did give me a little bit of apprehension because it was that slow Randy Orton style beatdown, and I don't think that fits Seth Rollins too much. I think he needs to like be bouncing around, and I think he needs to be working quick, And so watching that, I got a little worried. Like, I hope at Mania it's not kind of like the Orton Reigns match was, where it's like, you know what I'm talking about? That Orton style, where it just kind of slows to a halt sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what this match should be.
If Orton's playing face as the lead, I think he'll quicken it up a little bit.
I hope so.
He may be in peril a decent amount too. So,
and I think the J&J being out there will prevent that, because they can jump in there, and while Seth's moving and rolling around, Randy could just. It's basically going to be like a 3-on-1 match, is how I'm picturing it.
Right. All right. The other match, one match that has been confirmed now due to a segment on Raw. I was just so disinterested. He's a lot like, and I think this half the reason why I brought up the whole Willie, you are the Ricky Steamboat of Place to Be Nation, because
I'm really good at arm drags.
You're really good at arm drags.
And he's from Hawaii.
And you look great in jorts. No, I'm looking. Because Monday night we watched another pitiful example of when John Cena tries to be tough. He's not tough. He never will be tough. He's like the 2011 Vancouver Canucks. He pretends to be tough. What?
You mean angry Cena?
Yeah, where he...
I can see him right now.
Oh, that's fake too. He sits there and he pretends, if you make fun of the USA, I'm going to come out and you're going to learn how tough we are, blah, 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 because you're really tough looking in that Flintstones looking t-shirt. And Rusev, who's awesome, does the whole, spiel. And he runs down. And he does that really awful STF. And Lana, and, okay, you can have your match. The whole thing was just so bad.
The Lana stuff was, look, Lana did a great job in the beginning cutting the promos. Now I think we've transitioned, and this has been a successful transition, to where Rusev is the one that's delivering the promos and really carrying it without Lana's service.
I will say that I did dig there when they were in the locker room, and he was pretty much telling her, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. That acting was so bad. I mean, Lana does a great job of doing some heelish things, but that acting on that promo with the STF trying to coax him to let go. Okay, we'll give you a title match. Okay, we'll give you ice cream. Then he lets go.
You can almost hear her counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, okay, now we'll do this.
Yeah.
5, 4.
And we all kind of know the underseating there, that she's going to be going off to film a movie, so you might see a bit of a face turn there.
Does anybody care, except if Rusev wins, which maybe he will, but
absolutely zero chance.
Not to be the guy that everyone disagrees with, but I think it's a win-win.
I disagree.
Here's why. If Rusev wins, obviously that's a huge deal. No matter how he wins, it's a huge deal. If Rusev loses, you've got Cena as the U.S. champion, which thus elevates the title.
You cannot elevate the U.S.
title. If he keeps it.
The only way that works out for most people, well, for me anyway, is if he brings back the spinner U.S. title, which would be pretty swank. Because that was a great belt. I like that one better.
What if Cena renames it the Russian heavyweight title?
I don't ever want him taking credit for any of my ideas. I get an idea. How about if it's the opener? What if Cena curtain jerks?
I don't see it.
That would be awesome.
He already curtain jerked WrestleMania
match of the night. Wasn't him and Bray last year like the third match of the night?
It was right in the middle somewhere.
Oh.
I think it was fourth.
Nice, but I can easily see him being the one of the first three with sometime between 7 and 8:15 Eastern time. I could see his match being there.
What's funny about this match to me is the fact that it's for the U.S. title, and I don't think this is intentional by them, makes me think that Rusev has a chance to win, because I just don't see John Cena winning the U.S. title. Like, if last time we were on, I'm like, there's no way Rusev wins at WrestleMania. But now that it's actually for the belt, I'm like, why is Cena going to win the U.S. title? John, you know what I mean?
John Cena and the way that he is booked is the perfect example of 50-50 booking. I lose to Rock at WrestleMania. I get my win back. He lost to Rusev at Fastlane. He's going to get his win back. Period. End of story.
Oh, I know. I mean, if you were to say, force me to make a pick, that's what I'd say. But I think it's funny that making it for the title actually makes me question if Cena's a lock still, because he's so above that title. You know what I mean?
I got an interesting. Let me throw this wrench in the mix. What if they make it an I Quit match? Both guys have submission finishers. Both guys have now passed out from.
But you have to say I quit in English. If you say it in Russian, then you don't say I quit.
Do you quit? Нет! Нет!
Нет!
So a question about angry Cena, though, for a second.
It's like angry birds.
I feel that someone's gonna out there is going to correct me if I'm wrong. So I want to preface this by saying I'm not entirely sure, and I need some help with this. I watched last week's Raw. I watched this week's Raw. You know, saw what happened to Cena. Cena comes out this week backstage, gets in Rusev's face, is all angry, and challenges, I dare you to say something bad about America. Why was Cena so angry all of a sudden about that? That hasn't that been Rusev's thing his entire time since he debuted last year? Like, Cena, did something happen?
He wasn't watching back in the fall.
Okay, did something happen on SmackDown? Like, all of a sudden get him really fired up about Rusev being down about America?
When Rusev attacked that soldier, it didn't bother him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just very bizarre that he just came backstage and was like, hey, I'm really angry tonight about the fact that you badmouth America like you've been doing for the last 14 months.
He had to come down from his luxury suite to go down to the middle of the totem pole there.
Hey, you know, it could be worse. It took Sting 14 years to do something about how
I've
angry
been watching
he is at WCW
you for 14 years.
Meanwhile, I was wrestling in places that had 14 people in them.
And three of them were paid.
Yes.
You know, the funny part with the Sting one, if we can go to that for a second, is that he says, and it was a really cool little moment where in the vignette with the NWO, he says, I tried to stop them. I failed. He should have said, I tried to stop them. I joined them. I didn't join them. Then I turned heel again. And then I failed. That would have been more accurate.
I got a lot. You know what? In the second half, because we're gonna have a little fun in the second half, because I'm sure this first segment will get depressing after a while. But I've been watching the 1998, and I'm glad you're on, Graham, because I'm curious for your opinion of this too. I've been watching, as everyone, I kind of mentioned it here and there, that I've been since the network started, I've been watching WCW pay per views chronologically, because I would say 80% of them, 80% of them, sound or a sound 80% of them I've never seen, so I've been watching them, and I'm in the middle of 1998 now, and I got a question about the NWO, and it kind of involves Sting, but we'll get to that in the second segment. I think if it's an I quit, both guys have now passed out to their respective to their respective finishers. Yep. So we don't want a flag match, because that what's that going to do?
Last man standing.
What's that?
Last man standing.
Oh, yeah. That'll be John Cena's 900th last man standing.
How about last flag standing?
Last flag standing.
First man standing.
First man standing. They start the match on their backs. And Lana straddling both of them.
Oh, in that case, neither of them are getting up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, they might be.
All right. Okay. All right.
Welcome, Graham.
How do you say doggy style in Russian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like I quit. They all sound the same.
They all sound the same. Yet. Okay. let's talk about another match that's now popped up on the show. And sadly, our Total Divas junkie is not here, but our Total Divas hater is here. The Bellas are facing AJ and Paige. Can somebody – I'm in the dark because I refuse to watch the show, because I just do. Was the finale of Total Divas have something to do with them quitting or something? The Bellas? Is that what that is?
I don't think any of us watched it.
All right. I thought it had something to do with them quitting. Good. You know what? Dude. The fact that I just heard crickets was better than anything. So, in any event,
I think I think it was, but it was also filmed like in November or something, so we can safely assume that they didn't.
Okay. So, whoever wins or loses there is completely irrelevant. That's fine. Otherwise, Raw was pretty good. I mean, the main event was, you had asked earlier today, Steve, in one of our chats, if you thought the main event was any good, and it was pretty basic. It was nothing. It was more of a setup for the Orton stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Paul Heyman's promo for a minute. And Brock looking like a smarmy prick like he does so well. I know Rich loved that. I think what I like most about Heyman's promo is that he's finally saying what he should have been saying back in like January.
Yeah.
Brock's exactly. Going to take this belt. Dana White wants him to show up with it at UFC pay-per-views, yeah. And he's going to dangle it on camera. And, you know, that I've been saying that all along.
I don't even think January. This should have been the whole title reign.
Yeah. Use the title. That's why he's friggin' got it. Mm-hmm. So he could use it as a hood ornament or on his Christmas tree. He doesn't mm-hmm. care. He's dangling it in front of us like it's just something he bought on shop.com. And then he'll go to TNA. Imagine if he showed up there. Yeah, those checks will clear.
I want Samuel Shaw.
I want Rockstar Spud. I'd love to see him kill Rockstar Spud. Anyway, this should have been the storyline the whole time.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Instead of, we know he's a beast. We know he's the biggest guy who gets to kick the shit out of everybody. I get that. Mm-hmm. But let's take it to the next level. Does the title even mean anything to him? Or did he just take it because he can?
Does it matter?
Instead, we hear the same. He's a beast, and he's yelling, and he's got the snarmy look, and he's got the, you know. But he should actually be saying, Heyman, yeah, he was on a UFC pay-per-view. He was on TV. What of it? Maybe he should bring the belt with him. What of it?
So what you're saying is,
yeah.
So what you're saying is you don't like the fact that it doesn't seem like the WWE title means something to Brock Lesnar.
Right. I don't think it does. But they should use it in the storyline.
I think the issue, Andrew, is that it makes it seem like it doesn't mean anything to the authority because they don't care that Brock's had it this whole time. Now, all of a sudden, this week...
That's just bad writing.
They kickstart it. When this should have been the story all along is that Brock wins the title and the authority's happy, and then all of a sudden they realize they didn't really want that because Brock doesn't show up when they want him to, and Brock mm-hmm. says, I don't feel like fighting. I'm going to stay home with the belt. You come take it from me.
Well, we talked about this since September. Why did they use him walking out on Raw last week?
Right.
They kind of sort of did. Everybody knows already. You know?
Heyman did bring it up in the promo. You know, but, he's going to go to UFC and he's going to win both belts, you know? Yeah, and they tried to do the microphone getting cut off. The boys in the back were trying to swerve him or something.
No, I get that, Rish, but he should have actually – enough alluding. He should have actually said it. Yeah, he didn't feel like being on last week, so he left. What of it? Right. What are you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, use these things. What do you think, Graham?
I like the promo. I mean, maybe he could have done that kind of stuff earlier, but the promo was playing off of Lesnar being there this past weekend, and he basically said that without saying that.
Right.
So he tied into what we're all thinking about. He tied into what we're all talking about. And it was great because he said, if you think you're going to do a Montreal Screwjob on my guy, he'll kill you. So we're all going to WrestleMania going, oh, we know what the result is. We know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But Heyman's saying it will only happen if Brock wants it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Brock will only get away from that belt if he wants to. Mm-hmm. No one can take it from him. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to hear right now because we all know what the result's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of like puts things in question, which is just fantastic. This program without Heyman is nothing. With Heyman, it'll get some buys.
Yep. And don't forget, he is contractually obligated. Let's open the box on this. Let's open Pandora's box. He is contractually obligated to show up the next night. So does that open the door to more possibilities in that match?
It opens the door to a rematch.
Yeah. And it opens the door for Brock to win. Or
don't play with my heart, Scott.
Does Brock and Reigns? I still think you guys are gonna be fucking insane, but I still could conceivably see, and I don't care, and I love it because everybody would hate it, and I dig that shit. I would love to see Reigns and Brock in the middle, because a very small part of me still thinks Triple H and Sting is gonna be last.
No, nope.
Very small part.
Nope. We will crush that small part.
See, that was awkward.
That's what she said.
Why let JD say it? See, that was awkward. I don't like you. I don't believe you.
What's your mind?
Arm drag. Quick, do an arm drag.
To put your shorts on. it's a very small, like 2% of me thinks that. But the rest of me thinks if he's got one, this isn't like WrestleMania 20 where he's going to say, fuck you, and walk out and we don't see him again. Mm-hmm. That one night after. This is where the mystery of Brock Lesnar being a douche works to us as fans' advantage. Because he can do anything that night. He could come out there with Dana White and go, yeah, well, screw you all.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're on track with one and not with the other. I don't think Sting and Triple H will go last.
I don't think it will either.
But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Roman Reigns wins that championship. In fact, if we want to open up Pandora's box even more, I still see that Seth Rollins briefcase kicking in the Raw after WrestleMania.
What if?
How about this? What I'm thinking, Scott.
What if?
Am I thinking what you think I'm thinking?
I got an idea too.
Wins the title. What if Roman Reigns wins a title? Brock F5s him or pummels the shit out of him.
Rollins cashes
in. Rollins comes out and Brock beats the shit out of him too. Takes the briefcase, gives it to the guy, and wins it again. Or something of or
See,
let's
I have
this.
A I have I, another
I,
theory.
That last part I just kind of threw in there at the end. What if Brock just murders all of them? Rollins runs in, wants to cash
literally.
Then you haven't been watching WWE for the last six months.
What if at the end of WrestleMania there are three men with swords in their chest?
You want the WrestleMania version of the Red Wedding where everybody dies.
What about this? Here's an idea that I had based off of the promo. By the way, I do agree with Graham there. The promo on Monday was awesome.
No, you don't.
It was great.
It was superb.
I think our frustration isn't in that promo. It's that, like, gosh, why haven't we been getting this promo for 6 months?
Yeah, the promo should have been happening since August.
But, you know, with the mic turning off, they're obviously setting up some sort of story for Paul Heyman after WrestleMania and stuff like that. What if this happens? What if Brock beats Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins comes out, and we all have it figured out, and then Seth hands the briefcase to Roman, and they double team, and then Roman wins. And that's how we get the Roman turn.
And you return. Oh, you mean...
And Roman joins the Authority.
It's almost psychological.
Seth hands the... So you get the proof that Brock can beat him, and then... He needs help.
I think for Vince, that's too big of an idea.
Or, so, you know what you're doing, JD? You're kind of doing what made Triple H's heel turn at WrestleMania 15 so much better, because everyone thought that Triple H and China were reuniting, mm-hmm. but instead of Triple H going back to DX, or instead of China going to DX, Triple H went to the corporation. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, Rollins comes in, hands the briefcase to Reigns, and you're thinking, oh my God, Shield reuniting.
And in a way it is, but...
Right, but then Reigns cracks Brock, wins a title,
yep.
Triple H and Stephanie all, and they all come out.
Yep.
I've got another idea.
Okay.
You've got Heyman, who ever since the Rumble has been... super complimentary of Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To the point where he says he can beat Roman Reigns against the Black Plague. I'm picking Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Roman Reigns against the Great Depression. I'm picking Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns against communism. Yeah.
Picking Roman Reigns. Yeah. So what if he's already picked Roman Reigns?
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, that one could work too.
The main detriment to Roman right now is his speaking ability. Yeah, Paul Heyman, you don't need speaking ability.
He should go back to the way he was in the Shield.
I think that one made sense. The only issue with that is the Heyman promo makes it seem like after WrestleMania, Paul Heyman's going to be fighting the Authority for some reason.
Because he feels like he got undermined.
Right, right. So,
well, since we're throwing stuff out of left field, which is actually kind of fun and makes the match more interesting as a fan.
Right, yeah.
What if the next night Brock just hands it over to Rollins? Seth comes out to cash in.
And they pay it.
Brock just lies down?
And yeah. Brock cashes in too.
Not the finger poke at Doom.
Yeah, that would totally just...
The thing, but you know what's funny?
I've got
the finger poke would actually
really
work.
Upset some people. But it would kind of
I've got another idea. Mm-hmm. What if Roman Reigns, God, gets run over by a car? Big Show replaces him and wins the title.
Except it's the Usos driving this time.
I did it.
Sting in a Hummer.
No, Rikishi will do it.
Sting in
Hall of Famer Rikishi ran him over.
What if Brock wins? And Hulk Hogan comes out, and Paul Heyman says, "Come on, fight him right now!" And then Hogan beats Brock.
And then Bret Hart's really pissed off about it.
Somebody takes a picture. Yeah, and then somebody takes a picture of Hogan at King of the Ring, and he disintegrates or something. I don't know.
Somebody wearing a Bob Dylan wig like the last time. Oh God.
Or Triple H could just win it, but who fucking cares? You know.
Uh oh.
By the way, what's funny about this whole thing is. Just what everyone said.
Shut up. Say that again, Rish. Booker T, say it again. Say it again.
I said, what if Triple H just wins, but nobody cares?
Okay. All right.
Awkward.
See, where's the little red hang up?
See you later, everybody. It was a nice run. The main event will be...
Graham, is Stutz home? Is Stutz home? Can we get him on?
He's probably home, yeah. Go ahead.
All right, good. Goodbye, Rish. No. This is fun, guys. I mean, we're throwing a lot of shit at the wall here.
Well, I threw the biggest wad of shit at the wall.
You know, that's what I was saying. What's interesting about this stuff is that it's making us interested in how the match ends, but is anyone actually interested in Roman Reigns and the match yet? Or just the end of the match?
Seriously?
The match is
a little bit.
It's going to be a really good match.
I have a feeling it's going to
be. But I think my point is they're not selling the match. They're selling what's going to happen at the very, very end of the match, which is an interesting way to go about it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think – could they book this a lot like what Brock did to Cena at SummerSlam? Could we see Reigns just getting murdered for like 15 minutes?
No. I think Vince wants to book it like Clash of the Titans. He wants to make it like Reigns.
So what we're going to get a modern-day version of Triple H and Steiner at the 2003 Royal Rumble.
You're going to get a modern-day version of...
Two guys are going to get stuck wrestling for 25 minutes, and it's going to be absolute death.
That would be a huge mistake.
You might get Lesnar Goldberg again, only this time Vince is going to make people care about it.
Mm-hmm. See, well, here's a question.
Go ahead.
We know kind of going in that crowd. We know who they're going to cheer. We know who they're going to boo. I think Reigns is obviously going to be under that boo category. What do they do in the match? How do they orchestrate the match so that at the end of the night, he is the champion, but also maybe the fans that are booing him at least go, holy crap, that was okay. Yeah, he deserves that.
And I think
I don't know.
Building off that, Graham, like the only way that you can do it, if that's the way, is have him be destroyed by Lesnar and have, and no pun intended, a Superman type comeback, because he just went, you know what, 20 minutes back and forth with Daniel Bryan, and then it just doesn't make sense that he'd be going then back and forth with Brock Lesnar as well when Bryan got so much offense in on him at Fastlane. It was a pretty even match for the most part. Mm. So then you're saying that Daniel Bryan, you know, by the – would that be the associative or the transitive property of mathematics back from middle school?
Oh my God.
That Daniel Bryan would be able to go toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar?
Well, wrestling's kind of like Highlander because when you beat someone, you
steal their
power.
Good night,
everybody. You cut their head off. Wait. So by beating Daniel Bryan, he has now absorbed Daniel Bryan, which makes him easier to face Lesnar and beat Lesnar.
I thought you were going to say everybody
really
looks like
Edge. I think that's what they were really hoping for coming out of Fastlane.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Highlander, like everybody looks like Edge, but no. Okay, so we'll keep tabs on it. I'm sure we'll discuss it a lot in 2 weeks when we have our official Main Event WrestleMania preview.
To add one more thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
What's kind of nice about what we're doing here is that we're making the match more interesting than it might actually be.
Yeah.
And that's what's fun about WrestleMania season is talking about this kind of stuff and just, you know, throwing out ideas. Because as we've all said, and a lot of people say online, you know, this is kind of a cookie cutter setup. It seems there's no big surprises or anything like that. So
they're
throwing out these
and
wacky
they're
ideas.
They're kind of trying to sell us. Yeah. They're trying to sell us that there's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So we just got to try and
figure out what it is.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Next thing. And we mentioned this briefly before we went on the air. This ladder match for the Intercontinental title, six guys, including Daniel Bryan. Taking everything else away, let me just ask a basic question. Do we think the match is going to be really good?
This is where you hang up on me.
Is the match going to be really good? Basic. Just answer the question, yes or no. Forget. Yeah, but. No yeah, buts. Reesh, is the match going to be really good?
Yes.
Okay. Really, is the match going to be really good?
Sure.
Okay. JD, I'm not answering yet.
That's not a yes.
Graham, is the match going to be really good?
Sorry, I've been drinking. What, Matt?
The Dancing Fools versus Vicious and Delicious.
Is that happening? Did they book that?
You know what I hate about the Dancing Fools? Why did...
Man, Alex Wright and Disco Inferno were awesome,
but
man.
Why did they come out to separate entrances? Shouldn't they have come out to... Shouldn't they have morphed, like, this techno...
Egos.
Disco, tech disco thing together?
Yeah, like they did with Goldust and Cody Rhodes' music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same reason the Mega Powers didn't last.
Yes. And Vicious and Delicious only had one pay-per-view. By
the
way, worst acting ever was at Fall Brawl 98 when... thank God this was pre-Owen, or WCW got destroyed for this. When Bagwell had that really bad neck injury, and then, you know, Tony, dipshit Tanay, and poor Bobby had to, like, pretend that he was hit by a fucking truck. Mm-hmm. Oh my! And then, like, 10 minutes. That was, like, the longest dreadful segment ever of a pay-per-view. Oh, my God, let's carry Bagwell to the back. That literally was, like, 9 minutes. And then they all hop out of the ambulance and beat the shit out of Rick Steiner. It was just the worst, like, 10 minutes of pay-per-view ever.
I don't remember that at all.
It was dreadful. It was dreadful.
I remember
anyway,
when
Judy Bagwell was not on a pole, so I didn't remember that match.
No. She was... Yes.
No, you know, I'm sorry. I always get that historical reference wrong. It's Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
Yeah, it was on a forklift.
On a forklift.
Okay. Answer the question. All right. When do we stop? At what point? And you know what, JD? I'm going to ask this pointedly to you because you're the only one that's going to disagree with me, and I'm going to make you answer the question.
Okay.
When do we actually stop caring that Daniel Bryan is not going to win the title and he's not in the main event? When can we stop giving a crap and just move on to the match? Why do we have to belabor the point all the time? He's not going to be in the match. It's not going to happen. He's not winning the title. He's not going to jump Rollins and steal the briefcase or anything like that. He's in a great match. It's going to be fantastic. Maybe he wins. Maybe he doesn't. But we're going to get a great 4-star close to. We got a bunch of guys. We're going to throw their bodies around. And it's going to be a fantastic, probably 15-minute. It'll probably be the opener. Fantastic, probably 15-60-minute match. Why can't we just enjoy it and stop belaboring that Daniel Bryan is not winning the title?
Me personally or in general?
Both. Because I know you feel this way.
Me personally.
Been, yeah.
Me personally. When he's not my favorite wrestler anymore. End of story. I want my favorite to be the champion. In a bigger spectrum, when Daniel Bryan is no longer the face of the fans. Here's the thing. It goes beyond Daniel Bryan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think Daniel Bryan and how they treat him, and to a lesser extent Dolph Ziggler and maybe even Dean Ambrose, speaks volumes about what the fans want and what the fans get.
Mm-hmm.
So taking Daniel Bryan out of the title match, I understand. I understand why they think Roman Reigns will work. You know, he looks good. He's got the pedigree, not the move, but the, you know, the Samoan heritage and all that stuff. And really his track record in the company, Roman Reigns was a huge star last January. He was, people wanted him to win. Let me figure out how to word it. But when they take him out of there, basically what they're saying is, you know what? We're going to do what we want to do, like you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think as fans we should – wrestling isn't just about good matches. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling in its best is not just about good matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early Ring of Honor is heralded as having great, 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 great matches. But the biggest drawback to it for me, and I might upset a few listeners, is that I wasn't invested in the guys yet. It wasn't until Samoa Joe, who we might be talking about a little bit later, Joe came along that I really got into Ring of Honor. You want to know why? Because I cared about Samoa Joe. If we don't care about the people, then it doesn't matter how good the match is. And I think the fundamental basics of pro wrestling is still about character, and it's still about the stories. If I just want to watch a good match, then I could go watch Ring of Honor. I could watch New Japan, because their matches right now, while WWE has good matches, New Japan's are better.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to watch just a good match, I can get it from a lot of places. But Daniel Bryan's my favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I think the best story they could have told at WrestleMania is Daniel Bryan conquering the Giant.
I agree.
So that's it for me. I mean, I'm not saying that the match that he's going to be in – and here's the other thing too. The biggest issue for me, the fact that he's in this match is not – it's not just that they didn't have plans for him in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
It shows they had no plans for him at all. And it's one thing to say, okay, he's not going to be in the main event. It's another thing entirely for them to say they had no plans for him in any capacity. And that's a big issue, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at the whole roster of the guys in that match.
Right.
That, like, this is going to be a great match. Don't get me wrong. This is going to be a great match of guys that they had no singles plans for.
Right.
There's a lot of guys that have suffered. That's a great answer, by the way, JD. That's a great answer.
Thanks.
There's a lot of guys that have suffered because they've tried so hard. And that's the ADHD that's in this creative group right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying so hard to make us like Roman Reigns. We're hating Roman Reigns. And it's not even his fault. It's not like Batista.
Right.
We hated Batista.
Yeah, it's not
for,
that we
except
hate
for
Roman
Roger,
Reigns.
We hated Batista last year. Roman Reigns is the victim of creative not really giving a crap about the guys that everybody likes. Every single guy in the Intercontinental title ladder match is somebody that we really, really like. Even Barrett. I love Barrett.
I think that's intentional, too. I think they're putting Ambrose and Bryan and Ziggler all in the same match for a reason.
Yeah, to shut us up.
I think Harper is pretty well. That's a good point.
Yeah, and
it's
Harper.
It's a signification of what they feel about the roster, because the Battle Royal, that's kind of the bottom guys. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the ladder match. Except for R-Truth, it all includes guys that people in the really, really like for different reasons, but they just didn't want to put in the main event, so they bundled them all together.
Mm-hmm. Stardust in there, too. I would say he's closer to R-Truth than Daniel Bryan.
I love Stardust.
I hate R-Truth now. Please leave. Your commentary is annoying.
He's the best commentator they have.
He probably is.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's actually
just proved my point, Graham, about everything else. So about everything involving the commentary. But yes, you're right.
You should be so happy with the change in pace on the commentary team. He did like a half an hour on Monday.
Him and JBL actually had a good banter on Monday, but.
Before we go out, I want to mention something that Jordan hit on that I thought was a really great point about how people invest a lot into watching.
Just one of my great points?
Yeah, but that was the only one.
One of the points I allow to be great. All right, go ahead, Reed.
You know, about investing in watching great matches in certain eras and not caring at all about the characters. And then you had the Attitude Era where everybody was invested in the characters and nobody really cared about the wrestling. I think we're in an era now where they don't really care that much about the matches or the characters. They care about the decisions. And it's about what they think the company is going to do as a whole.
Right.
It's almost like the Oscars. Like, who are you going to pick? You know, so they could be upset about it. They don't care about how good the movie is. You know, they force you to choose sides.
Hmm.
Now, with that said, and I agree with that, how is the development of how is the ratio of good matches to good characters right now?
If you're asking
me honestly,
I'd say 4-1. Like for every 4 really good matches, there may be 1 decent character.
Okay, guys, what a fantastic first segment. Let's take a breather. Talk about the other awesome shows on this fine Place to Be Nation network. It is Place to Be Nation's main event. I'm Scott Crisola. Andrew Reese, Jordan Duncan, Steve Willey, the Broham, Grant Kaufman in for Ben Morris. When we come back, We'll talk some news and notes. I want to talk about a couple of things from Raw we didn't get to in this segment. And I want to ask Graham some fun questions that we haven't had a chance to ask him. He's asked some other guests. So it is the main event, and more is coming up right after this.
Who's your girlfriend?
You know, the Fabulous Freebirds were in Highlander, too.
And yes, they were. At the Meadowlands.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. We'll have 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective. And we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And welcome back to Place to Be Nation, to episode 29 of the main event. I am Scott Griscolo with Steve Willey, Jordan Dunyan, Andrew Reich, and the Broham, Graham Cawthon, co-host of Wrestling with Optimism and the History of Wrestling podcast here on Place to Be Nation. And, of course, the purveyor of the history of WWE.com and acclaimed author. We've had a good first segment, guys. Before we do go any further, let's talk PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Stephen Graham's newest episode of the Pro Wrestling Super Show, The Wrestler Snapshot. I was on one a while back with Chris Jericho. This one, Larry Zbysko, Larry Legend, Larry Land. So check that one out. He's joined by Tim Livingston and Chris Zellner from the Lucha Report. Mr. Reich, your 30 years of Mania Madness continues. It just posted 1994 to 1996. I know one person that could kick the crap out of Brock Lesnar. Corliss Williamson. That's who.
That was a bad boy. Big nasty.
I love that. That was the ultimate 40 minutes of hell right there. Him, Scotty Thurman, and who's the center? It was him, Scotty. He was Scotty Thurman for a power forward. Like, there was another guy on that team. Anyway, I almost said Oliver Miller, but that was the other Arkansas team.
Yeah, that was the earlier days with Todd May.
No,
they were more of a guard-oriented team with like Corey Beck and and oh man, I can't remember the other guy's name.
Not Todd May.
No, Todd Day. I said Todd Day.
Oh, I thought you said Todd May. It was Todd Day and Lee Mayberry. That was the other guy.
Todd Day, Lee Mayberry, yeah.
So, anyway.
But no, please read that. Great stuff. I promise. You will not be disappointed.
I think it was Todd Day, you guys. Todd Day.
Todd Day.
Yeah.
I hate
it's a new day for Todd Day.
We continue. Uh-oh, somebody's upset. No. The Great WrestleMania Rebook continues. The guys, some of the guys here at Place Mediation have been rebooking WrestleManias. The newest one up, WrestleMania 15. They rebooked Philly. And, of course, WrestleMania 14, 13.
It wouldn't need to be rebooked.
check those all out. Glenny Bunn with his Wednesday walk around the web. Newest episode of Richard and the Mailman up. Another Better Call Saul, Alpine Shepherd Boy. So that is up as well.
Newest episode, is a great episode.
Newest episode of the Sports Lounge up. Calvin and the guys had John Rook, who is the legendary voice of the Providence Friars. We get close to the tournament. Bauer Show is up, knee-deep in NFL free agency. A lot of free agency stuff going on, of course. Benjamin, this is why he was not on tonight, because he needed to finish this article. No, it's a great article. He's been, when JR and I do our Place to Be podcast episodes where we rebook or we pick our all-time greatest cards of the month, he does one to kind of counter ours, and we kind of decide which one's better. He did September, and he has posted his all-time October pay-per-view card. So that is good as well. So, and the Kevin Kelly Show earlier this week, Kevin had on Jay Briscoe. So there you go. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Graham, before we continue, I want to ask you a question that we've been asking our special guests and these and the guys we talked about and our guys here.
How much your bench? Oh, sorry.
No, we ask our guests that, not our special guests.
So, can you go?
Name me. You've been to plenty of shows in your life, plenty of house shows, Raws, pay-per-views. But have you ever had a show that logistically you knew you could have gone to, didn't, and now regret it? In other words, I'll give you an example. I live in Connecticut, and logistically, I could have gone to the show, and for some reason, I didn't, and now I regret it. And that's SummerSlam 2002, one of the greatest pay-per-views ever. And I mean, I'm 45 minutes from Nassau Coliseum, and I didn't go.
And Andrew didn't go to the 2001 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and Andrew Jordan didn't go to any pay-per-views with Andre in them. So
mine was Spring Stampede '94,
and his was Willie's was Spring Stampede '94. So is there anyone that you we're like, I can't go. I don't have the money, or I got plans, or whatever. Nah, I don't feel like going. And then you realize that it was like, you know, the greatest thing on the earth, and it gnaws at you for the rest of your wrestling existence.
No, but the fact that it gnaws at all of yours is kind of sad.
Way to kill that buzz.
I mean, really, there may have been some shows when I lived in around the D.C. area when I was a kid that I wanted to go to, like King of the Ring 94 in Baltimore. By the way, I'm putting a book together on the Baltimore Arena.
Yes, you are.
But I was too young. Like, I could not go by myself. And if my parents didn't want to take me, I wasn't going. Mm-hmm. So I don't really – and then there were some other house shows around there that I would love to have gone to, but nothing huge happen there. I just wanted to go for the experience.
Any down in the, like, any, I'm thinking of some any Carolina shows. Did you go to SummerSlam 2000? Or were you?
No, I was going to college in Arizona.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we got like a Raw SmackDown back to back taping in Phoenix that I didn't go to in 2000. But I don't know if anything was like astronomically huge there.
Okay. I don't know. It's a question we kicked around with the guys, and I've asked past guests. I was curious there was one that you
would have. No, I think the big shows where I am now would have been the Rumble in 2010 in Atlanta, went to the WrestleMania Atlanta, went to I think one of the last Charlotte shows I went to was Benoit's last match. So maybe if I hadn't gone to that, I would have kicked myself over that, but about it.
Yeah, where was that? Was that in Houston? Where was that?
The pay-per-view, the Vengeance.
No, that Vengeance Night of Champions.
Vengeance Night of Champions was in Houston.
Was Houston, right? Because it was back-to-back Night of Champions.
Because
were
he was
Texas.
supposed to go to a house show in Beaumont and no-showed it.
And no-showed, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. It was back-to-back years because 07 was in Houston. I think 08 was in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I think back-to-back Night of Champions were in the state of Texas. Okay. All right. Just curious. All right. Let's go through some news and notes based on our friends at both WrestleChat.net and Lords of Pain, because they always have some good stuff. Quick NXT question. What do you guys think of this Owens-Alex Riley thing? I think it's pretty awesome.
I kind of liked it. I really wasn't watching that much when Riley was with The Miz. Mm-hmm. I kind of dug Riley when I was doing the main event recap back in the day when we first started up with Place to Be Nation. I liked him on commentary a lot. I thought he was growing in that role. I think that he's continuing to grow, and it was kind of out of left field when Owens and he got into the argument during the broadcast the other week, and I wasn't sure exactly where it was going to go, and they're running with it, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of ring shape he's in. He talks on commentary that he's at the Performance Center pretty much every day. It's kind of a little surprise, business not as usual down there, that they thought you were going to be just getting right into the Balor feud, but there's a little match here or there to tide the way before we get to that point, which is good too, because Owens really hasn't been around in NXT that long yet. He's only been there for a couple months.
Here's an interesting story. These are all coming out now that he's gone. Now that former NXT head coach Bill DeMott has left WWE, some stories are starting to come out about him. One has to do with the NXT TakeOver Evolution event that took place back in December. DeMott was the agent for Owens' debut against CJ Parker. The match we saw was the one that the three worked out. Between not liking Owens, the big guy, doing a flip dive, and not wanting so many moves in the opening match, DeMott did not like it. Owens reportedly complained to Triple H about the match, and Triple H just said to let Owens do what he wants. This has led to a lot of jealousy due to Triple H's talents that he's trying to build NXT around being able to do what they want, while everyone else is micromanaged and told not to wrestle the indie style matches that get over. Reesh, thoughts on that stuff? Well, go ahead. All right, JD, you said something first. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, JD, you go first.
The only thought I had is that it's kind of funny that Bill DeMott wouldn't want a big guy to do a flip dive when his finishing move for 10 years was a moonsault. So,
and a bad one at that.
Yeah, right?
I think we talked about this in a previous discussion about how the idea of not doing the indie style at NXT is sort of contradictory, because if you watch NXT and you watch a lot of those matches between some of those guys like Neville, Zayn, Balor, they bring in a lot of the stuff that worked for them, and they're able to implement it into their matches to make them more effective. There is a little bit of that, mixing in of the WWE format into what they do. But I do feel like the idea of, no, you got to do it our way, is, it just doesn't feel that way when I watch NXT. When I watch NXT, it feels like they really do have some liberation for the guys that are coming up to experiment, to fail on their own, and to try different things. I want to throw another question back at you, Scott, though. Mm-hmm. What do you – how do you feel – because I was actually – you know, they got this whole thing with the NFL where they're doing the Veterans Combine. You seen that before? You seen that lately where people can try to get their foot back into the door and show what they can still do? Do you kind of feel the same way about NXT with a lot of these older faces coming in, like the Brian Kendrick and Rhino and guys like that? Like, do you like the fact that they're bringing those guys in?
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I mean, obviously, NXT would – it's good to have guys starting from scratch. But guys like Owens, guys like Balor, guys like, you know, Itami, it's good to have – and we've talked about this in the past when we talked about NXT. And we're going to do similar things with NXT guys that we did last year. We're going to handle, you know, middle of the year, we're going to do the whole roster thing again, and I think that'll be a lot of fun. we'll do that with the main roster, too. I'm sure it'll make everybody sick. I think that Triple H and the NXT, you know, the NXT brain trust – kind of like these ready-made guys because, you know, building somebody up, I mean, building somebody up from nothing, like a Roman Reigns, just because you were born a Samoan doesn't mean you're Yokozuna in a heartbeat. And I use him as an example because no one's The Rock. The Rock is his own entity. But you're not just born and suddenly you're Yokozuna or you're Afa and Sika. That doesn't happen. So those guys need to be bred. But to sprinkle in these Owens and the Balors and the Itamis... Yes. Because they're ready-made, everybody knows who they are, and everybody thinks they're great, helps. And they sell their own merchandise. I mean, they sell themselves, really. I mean, the minute I saw the first Kevin Owens t-shirt, it was mine. The minute. So, I mean, I think a lot of it has to, I think that helps a lot when you're trying to recruit these guys. But Bill DeMott, I think he got a bad rap in the early Tough Enough. But now, as it's come out, I think he tries to – I think he tried to too hard to tackle the WWE style. And I think this goes back as well to the whole Triple H Vince thing. DeMott thinks like Vince thinks. This is WWE. There's a way of doing things. This is what we're going to do. And I think Triple H is like, well, yeah, but it doesn't necessarily have to work with everybody.
Yeah, I have an open mind.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that.
Were you surprised with DeMott getting in trouble again? Because he had already been in trouble in Deep South Wrestling.
No, I'm not surprised. I think it's time to start fleshing out and bringing in some new blood anyway. In those training situations, I think I heard Norman Smiley's been fantastic down there. Fantastic.
But do you think it's impossible to be PC in an environment like that, even in the performance center, because how grueling and how dirty the wrestling business really is in the trenches?
Well, I mean, it's not like it was in the territory years. What do you think of that question, Graham? I mean, we're not talking like, you know, friggin' Bill Watts in Mid-South or. It's not like, you know, there's not like Sam Mushnick trying to steal, you know, trying to take somebody's envelope at the pay window and start skimming at the top. I mean, I don't think it's really like that. What do you think of that question?
One more time.
Yeah, I clarify that, Reesh. I want to make sure that we're both on the same page here.
Well, obviously, WWE is in the corporate environment in which you have to be politically correct all the time so that when there's outed a bunch of things about, you know, DeMott saying derogatory things and roughing up people and making fun of women and calling people out, that they have to make him resign as kind of like a political answer. But do you think it's impossible for anyone in that position to be able to bypass any of that because the wrestling business inherently is so dirty?
Do I have to answer that?
Yes, you do.
No, you don't have to.
I'll answer it. I think that there's a difference between being politically correct and smacking people upside the head who have a concussion.
Yeah, I like, you know, that, like, one. I'm going with that answer.
Yeah. Like there's
well, look at JBL. Like, remember JBL used to be a piece of shit. back in the day, and he kind of still is. I mean, the whole Blue Meanie.
Yeah, the Amy. What was her last name? Amy who? God damn
Weber.
It. Yeah, that whole incident.
Yeah, and what he did to and how what he used to do to everybody and.
Hey, he beat the shit out of The Miz or John Morrison.
Hardcore Holly, he was an asshole too. But you know what, Reesh? The era of, like I said, Mid-South and Mid-Atlantic and, you know, the Crockett's and Watts and the Grahams in Florida, like that stuff doesn't happen anymore. Nobody gets their envelope skimmed at the paper.
The boys' mentality.
Yeah, that's gone now. That's gone now. That doesn't exist anymore. NXT is not like, you know, I'm just trying to throw out, you know, promotion names, make myself sound good. No. You know, like the Don Owens and, you know, the LaBelles and all those guys. That doesn't happen anymore. That's gone.
Yeah, but
that stuff doesn't
happen. Triple H in the interview with Steve Austin says, you know, there are no more developmental territories there are no more territories anymore. So we're trying to get it as close as possible to give the wrestlers everything, every resource that they can to be at their best. Well, you know, a lot of bad goes with that good. You know, and you can't just hide that forever. You know, it's bad things are going to happen when people are trying to push each other, even in a place like NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think
there's politics.
There is, but there's checks and balances. There has to be. I think there is.
Yes.
There's checks and balances.
And that's what happened to Bill DeMont.
There's no autonomy like, the two names that come up. Well, there's the three names that come up in my head in terms of autonomy over a promotion is Fritz, Vern, and Watts.
Yeah.
It's their world. You just live in it. I don't even think the Crockett's were that bad. I don't even think Jimmy or David were even that bad in that era. You had Dusty, you had Flair. You had a lot of checks and balances in Mid-Atlantic. Just based on what we know as fans. I mean, I don't know any inside stuff, but Vern, it was his way or the highway, which is why. Mm-hmm. And for Watts, his way or the highway. Fritz, his way or the highway. Guess what? They all went out of business, or they all had to get sold. So, that kind of thing doesn't work. I got a perfect guy. What about Sly Stallone's mom? She was a promoter. It was her way or the highway.
Estella Getty?
Stop, or my mom will shoot.
I did not know Estella Getty ran a
Estella Getty. Picture it.
Mama Stallone's Way or Hollywood and Vine?
Is that Davy Crockett's wife?
Davy Crockett's wife. Fucking mess. All right. On the poor, pathetic, sad bastard part of department of the show, listen to this story. The Millennium Wrestling Federation.
This could go in a lot of different ways.
I know. The Millennium Wrestling Federation issued the following this week. Please... Hearing Willie crack up just makes this fucking show.
Is this Psycho Sid's promotion? The Millennium?
Millennium Man! please note. Millennium Man. Please note, all winter. This is really sad. Please note, all winter, Tony Atlas. This is the Millennium Wrestling Federation issue. This. Tony Atlas has been fighting to keep up with his mortgage with the threat of foreclosure looming, along with everyday life expenses due to lack of bookings. He's not looking for a handout. He's very willing to work it out. Every personal appearance, every Indiegogo donation, I don't know what that is, towards our studio shoot interview documentary goes a long way to helping him live. WWE and Bodybuilding Hall of Famer Tony Atlas is available for bookings of any kind. Wrestling matches, autograph sessions, meet and greets, seminars, Graham Cawthon books, private gatherings of almost any kind at a great value. He's wide open most weekends heading into spring. Tony will help promote any appearances and is able to drive throughout the Northeast. Please email him.
Financial planning seminars, possibly?
Yeah, right. The next one is the Tony Atlas Experience, 360 Main Street, Melrose, Mass. I think I know where that is. I mean...
Couple questions.
I go back to that show, that MTV special. Remember the one back that had Triple H
Where's
and China
my cell
on?
Phone?
Yeah, was he hiding money like in a coffee can under his bed or something?
He's probably a millionaire and he's lost all his money. Like, not like lost it like in bad investments. Like, he doesn't know where it is.
I thought I'm sure he's going to accuse Hacksaw Jim Duggan of stealing it from Legends House. Yeah,
that's my question. Why just move into the Legends House?
I know, really. He can. Yeah. I mean, he could cook all the chitlins he wants. I mean,
that was filmed like 3 years ago.
You guys know those websites where you can bid for an experience? Mm-hmm. Kind of like what they're doing now with WWE and the charity experiences.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to bid to make Tony Atlas my chef for a week.
So you want 7 days of chitlins then?
No, it's going to be more than chitlins. It's going to be whatever he was making on that MTV special. I remember he was cooking on that show too. Mm-hmm. He's going to make me some collard greens. He's going to make me some cornbread. He's going to kill me a pig and cut it up however he wants to. And maybe even kill me a calf and cut it up however he wants to. And I will pay him to do that. So, Tony, if you're listening right now, which you're probably not.
Computer.
Call me.
That's a stretch.
My big question is the Millennium Wrestling Federation and Tony Atlas. Which millennium are we talking about if Tony Atlas is one of their top stars?
The previous.
That's true.
Definitely the previous one.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
I got a feeling I know what happened to the Legends House. It's now Justin Bieber's RV park. It's where he parks all his four-wheelers.
Glad to say I have no idea what that means.
I don't either. But what is Bieber hanging out with Floyd Mayweather for? We aired on my network today.
Who the fuck cares about Justin Bieber?
Because you just mentioned it.
Well, fuck him.
What's going on?
I don't know. Let's move on. Next story.
I think he's Tony Atlas is Justin Bieber's chef.
All right.
Well, he ain't cooking nothing because that motherfucker don't eat.
All right. WWE officials.
Baby,
all he eats is weed.
WWE officials are looking at adding several talents from Ring of Honor. WWE officials are reportedly waiting for the contracts of key talents to expire so they can begin negotiations. Look at that. Poaching ROH.
Oh, it's not poaching.
No, it's not poaching. It really isn't.
Hey, Byrne.
Who in Ring of Honor would fit? This is a quick one. I know this could end up being a longer segment of a show if we mention it, but very quickly. Who would fit in WWE?
Alberto Del Rio.
That'll never happen.
Alberto El Patron.
Is that what that guy's name was? No.
Yeah.
What the hell was
his name's Moose.
Moose?
The guy Moose. Who's the other dude that has that I'm trying to think of the guys I saw when I went to the show before the Rumble. The hell was his name? The guy that has not ACH. I know ACH, and I know Cedric Alexander. Seidel will never go back. AJ is an entirely different 90-minute show. Red Dragon would not fit. I can see Bobby Fish being a complete pain in the ass backstage. I don't know if Red Dragon would fit in.
And Bobby Fish is almost 40 years old.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Kyle O'Reilly.
Right,
that's his name, Kyle O'Reilly.
I don't think they fit, but man, the Young Bucks versus the Usos in the Super Kick Party would be awesome.
Oh, pretty awesome, yes. Who else?
I think Adam Cole.
Cole, maybe?
Baby.
Bennett?
CM Punk.
Either Briscoe?
I think Elgin would fit in NXT right now.
I think Elgin would easily fit in it because he's got that Bull Dempsey kind of,
badassery to him.
Even Owens kind of thing, yeah. He's hot. I like that.
The problem with Elgin is the shine is very much off him, especially over the last few months, after the way that he had to drop the title and how he acted after that.
Yeah.
The fans have completely turned on him, and I mean not booing him, completely silent.
Yeah.
Whereas a year ago, he was probably one of, if not the most over guy in the company. Mm. And, that word gets around. He was doing that in a very public way. Mm. So WWE's not going to hire people with attitude problems. Well, DeMott notwithstanding.
Sure. All right. The Wrestling Observer – okay, so this is Meltzer – notes that the idea behind NXT has changed a lot lately as Triple H loves all the praise he gets for NXT on social media. WWE originally was looking to train new talents from the bottom to the main roster, but it appears they are recruiting top talents for the NXT brand itself. The idea is to replace some of the top indie stars who can already work good matches with more indie stars. Regarding call-ups, there's no word on NXT champion Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn getting brought to the main roster, but there has been a lot of talk about Sasha Banks, Adrian Neville, and possibly Charlotte. With how WWE likes to introduce new talents at WrestleMania, it's possible we see new main roster talents in April. I don't think Kevin Owens is going anywhere.
No.
I think the sure things are Charlotte and Adrian Neville.
Yeah. Neville, I think Neville is ready. He's when you can't find something for somebody.
Here comes Mighty Mouse.
It's time to Mighty Mouse. Yeah. I think the guy who's gonna be the and we'll talk more about this when we really get into NXT, like in April, May, when we do like the halfway point and we break down the roster like we did last year. Besides Owens, the guy that really right now, in my opinion, has taken over as like maybe the most over guy is easily Finn Balor. I think he is the face right now next to Owens. I think he's even taken over Sami. I think Sami Zayn eventually, I mean, he'll always be beloved, but I guarantee you by maybe the fall, maybe not right after Mania, but maybe like September, October, maybe you see Sami Zayn go to the main roster. We'll see.
Finn Balor is one of those guys like Tyler Breeze. I just want to see them on the main roster for a WrestleMania entrance.
Yeah. I hate.
Like, I don't care what they do. I just want to see them come out at WrestleMania and have that off-the-wall, crazy, 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 amazing entrance. Mm.
The difference there is that Breeze's entrance is more one-dimensional and that people want to see the character and the entrance, but when the wrestling kicks in, I don't think people are that invested in Tyler Breeze. With Finn Balor, his wrestling is incredible. Like, people want to watch his wrestling just as much as the entrance.
Oh, Tyler Breeze can come out to do an interview. I just want to see his entrance.
Right.
Mm. We were talking about, you were talking about, somebody mentioned house shows earlier. Was that while we were recording or not? I'm not sure. But anyway, here are some recent attendance figures. March 5th in Columbus, Ohio. Frankie Williams is there. Columbus, Ohio. 1,000. That's pretty pitiful.
Was that the NXT show, though?
No, the NXT show was in Cleveland, and that drew
a
sellout.
That was at the Arnold Classic, right?
Yeah, that drew a sellout of 11.
No, NXT had a show in Columbus. I'm almost positive.
It doesn't specify. This here doesn't specify that it's an NXT show, because the next one says March 6th in Cleveland for NXT drew a sellout of 1,110 fans.
Yeah, supposedly all the NXT road shows did very well.
Yeah. March 6th in Rochester, 8,000. That's pretty good for a house show, actually. March 7th in Brooklyn, that was a Raw, right? March 7th? No. That was a Saturday night. Oh, no, that was a house show. 8,500. That's still pretty good, though. March 7th in Erie, 4,200. March 8th in Youngstown, Ohio, 3,500. And the other night in Raw in Pittsburgh was a sellout, 11,100. So they're not doing dreadful.
By the way,
live
that March 5th show was NXT. I almost went to it, and I don't know if you guys heard this, but the main event of the NXT show, did you guys hear what it was?
No.
Ryback and the Big Show, main event of the NXT house show, and the fans crapped all over it.
Because that's pretty fucking stupid. That's why.
Yeah.
You remember when Batista wrestled the Big Show on Manhattan on ECW?
Yeah, that was
changed the channel. The only time I've ever heard the chant of change the channel.
Change the channel. This is
off topic. Off topic, really quick. What's the attendance figures in Full Sail? Is it like 400? Like, how many people do they get in there?
500.
500.
Something. It looks. Yeah, it's like 500. I think. Okay. This is not a new. It says WWE's looking to bring SummerSlam back to Staples. They are. This is just a 1 year thing in Brooklyn. It's gonna go back to Staples Center every year after that.
Who's getting my free SummerSlam ticket?
Ben Morse.
I mean, I'll pay you later. Just, you know. I'm good for it.
Seems legit.
Yeah. We could talk about that afterwards.
Mr. Heinz Scrooge will get that for you.
Mr. Heinz Scrooge, yes.
And Steve, who else?
You can take Tiny Parb's ticket.
What's his name, Steve?
Have you guys noticed how many are already on eBay? And
yeah, StubHub has 2,000 SummerSlam tickets already on StubHub.
Jeez.
That's a lot.
It's not even formally on sale yet.
Yeah. All right. This story was posted today. Regarding the contract issues that came up between Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar 2 weeks ago on Raw, nothing has changed. Lesnar was at this week's Raw, and apparently they were still unable to resolve the issues. The situation is described as one where neither Lesnar or McMahon wants to budge from their current position on Lesnar's next deal with the company. To finalize the deal, one of them, or possibly both of them, will likely have to budge on the terms they're sticking to for now. Both Vince and Brock are aware of this, and there is said to be no pressure on Lesnar to be the first one to budge right now. What do you think let's speculate here. Let's throw more stuff at the wall like we did earlier. What do you think Brock's sticking point is that's pissing Vince off, and vice versa? I'll start with you, JD. What do you think Brock is what do you think his thing is that's
money
bugging Vince? You think it's just pure, you think it's just pure cash?
Yeah, and for Vince, it's probably
dates.
Vince probably wants dates. Yeah, I think it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Dates and money. Okay.
Yep.
You think that's what it is, Graham? Pretty cut and dry?
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. He probably wants...
Maybe he wants Sable to win the Divas title.
Maybe he wants Mark Morrow to come back. Yeah, that's probably what it is.
He might want us to give Divas a chance. I don't know.
Ben is his agent? I didn't know that. Oh, here we go. Another story. This is a long one. Holy shit. Former TNA knockout Raka Khan.
Trisha
Biggers is reportedly the latest talent to make allegations against DeMott. Biggers previously competed in the 2005 Diva search. She did? I don't remember her. And was signed to a developmental deal until May 4th, 2006. The following email was posted on Reddit and has been edited for clarity. Biggers retweeted the link on her own Twitter. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. I will open by saying... Oh, do I want to read this whole thing? Oh, God, this thing's long as anything. All right, never mind. You can go to lordsofpain.com and read it.
Yeah, just go read it.
Yeah, go read it.
It's a big hatch job on Bill DeMont.
Pretty much. Let's... I can't believe I'm about to do this, but the joke is, I guess, over at this point. We are going to mention a TNA story here. After the Observer, which is pretty much... When they say the Wrestling Observer newsletter, why don't they just say Meltzer? After it was reported, the newsletter reported frustration among the TNA roster over lack of live events 2 weeks ago, and PW Insider reported on the same story this week. Bob Ryder says the company had meetings this week about running live events again. Isn't that what put them in the financial crapper the last time?
Mm-hmm. Now, are they saying events like house shows or live events for Impact?
I think both. You might as well. I mean, if you're going to run live events, why don't you do them live? You'll make more money out of it. I'm sure Destination America has done a great job, I think. They've done more than Spike ever
did. They've given them even more TV time than they expected.
Yeah. I mean, they get the show on Saturday mornings. Impact re-airs like three times or something. So, yeah. No, it's they got it made in the shade there. But if they're going to run live events, you might as well put them on TV. You probably get more. You get ad revenue at least. Even though 90%, I mean, Willie, you'd love it because I think 80% of the ads are for Cubs games on WGN because I think that's Destination America. I think they're owned by WGN. So,
yeah, but WGN isn't showing Cubs games anymore. First time since the 30s.
Wow.
Yeah, only in Chicago they're going to be showing some of them.
That sucks.
It's a sad day. Speaking of
the
TNA,
Cubs are so good too.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be good
this year. I've got a little TNA tidbit for you. This is like a classic WCW moment almost. Mm-hmm. TNA aired a taped pay-per-view with a bald rock star Spud before the TV match, which is going to air this week
where he actually loses his hair. Fitting. All right. There has been a lot of talk among the TNA talents about how concerned they are due to the lack of work coming up. The feeling is that TNA officials presented the wrestlers with a best-case scenario when they left Spike TV and signed with Destination America, but that isn't how things are turning out. There's also a feeling within TNA that the crew was presented with the idea that things were better and would be getting better after the move to Destination, but things aren't getting better. We were now a few months into the latest major reboot for TNA, and the only events the company is running are TV tapings. There is no sign of live events being scheduled anytime soon. TNA canceling the April tapings and replacing them with tapings in May really had the wrestlers worried recently, as this means the promotion will essentially be dark for a few months with no pay being earned for the talents. Talents who have been with TNA for a while are seeing top stars leave with no real growth being made by the company. There's a feeling among some of the wrestlers that they were presented with the best case scenario, but since that isn't how things have turned out, it might be time for TNA officials to sit down and update them with what's going on and what the future holds. Is this going to last the year? I mean...
Is what going to last a year?
Is this company going to last? Are they?
Of course.
How?
I mean, the TV deal goes longer than that, correct?
Right, but if they have no, what if all these guys leave? I mean,
they're signing up guys like to be on TV. They'll find somebody who wants to get on TV.
I think that's just some of the wrestlers airing their grievances because they didn't get long-term deals. Guys like Matt Hardy and the former Brodus Clay and Angelina Love all got their re-signs and the other people didn't, and they're pissed. Mm. Because they're getting low pay, because they're on a smaller network now. So they're asking them to take pay cuts, and they don't want to do it. Hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to defend TNA too much. It's not like TNA does everything right. They do a lot of things wrong. Steve just mentioned one. But, you know, they're trying what they can.
Hmm. Graham, what do you think?
The airspace.
Okay. Graham, what do you think of TNA at this moment in time, just overall as a promotion?
Not on my radar. Hmm.
Yeah. I don't even get the channel.
I do. You know what's sad? I do, and I have it on. I have it on my DVR, and I just don't watch it.
I have to watch it.
I started to. You know me. I'm a big Bobby Roode fan.
I get New Japan, and they show matches that are almost 2 years old, and it's way better. I mean, it's awesome.
I got to get into that.
Well, the post production on that is a lot better. The one on AXS TV.
Ooh,
way better.
But you see this? These matches and segment. Here we go. This is pretty cool. WrestlingDVDNews.com, which is one of my favorite sites, has revealed these matches and segments for WWE's It's Good to Be the King, the Jerry Lawler Story DVD and Blu-ray that comes out on May 19th. More will be revealed soon.
May 19th?
May 13th. May 13th.
Lawler versus Fake Kane. No.
Was that a Fastlane where Big Show just started yelling the wrong date in Kane's face?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Lawler versus Terry Funk.
June 12th.
Yeah.
June 12th. December 25th.
Christmas. Lawler versus Terry Funk. Empty arena match. Memphis Wrestling. April 25th, 1981. Where have I seen that match? Is it that wrestling gold set that came out like 15 years ago? I thought I've seen that match somewhere.
I saw that in a $1 bin at Walmart.
How many tickets they sold for that? Zero.
None.
Yeah. Lawler versus Eddie Gilbert, Pro Wrestling USA, October 20th, 1984. Lawler versus Kurt Hennig, AWA, March 12th, 1988. Is that the one where he wins a title?
Yes.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I don't know if that's the one. I'll have to double check.
If that's Hennig in AWA, I will watch it.
Lawler versus Kerry Von Erich, AWA World Class Unification Match, 9/24/88. So that's not the Chi Town or whatever the stupid thing was
called. It's Super Clash.
It's not that one. That was in December. So they must have had something before this. This isn't the one where moron coked up Kerry scratched his arm with his blade hand and his freaking arm bled to death.
He tore his bicep with his own blade right before the match.
Lawler versus The Undertaker, casket match at a house show.
No, it's TV taping.
Well, it's just WWE.
It was on the back in the mid 90s. They put out a 1 hour Undertaker, his gravest match. No, he buries him alive.
Yeah,
it's on that.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, the date September 28th.
I thought it was called His Gravest Mistakes.
His Gravest Mistakes. Coming back to face Bray Wyatt. No. September 28th, 1994 is the date on that.
Is it Lawler, sad we haven't even talked about that?
I was going to get into it, but we can get more into it. I want to talk about the whole. When we get
Cracker Barrel probably loves that Bray Wyatt's rocking chairs get broke every week now.
Set on fire.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get into Taker next in our next show in the official preview because I want the full build to finish before we get to that, before we talk about it. I do have a Taker note coming up in a minute, though. Lawler and Nova versus Cena and Sean O'Hare from OVW, June 28th, 2002. It's interesting. Lawler versus The Miz, TLC WWE title match Raw, November 29th, 2010. Lawler versus Cole at WrestleMania 27. Ugh. And the after Raw birthday celebration from the same night that Lawler fought Miz on that match.
So what's the major absence on that set so far?
Well, this is only so far. There's more to be revealed. This isn't the whole thing. So
Right. But what's the big elf in the room here?
The Memphis. Most of Memphis stuff, right?
Most of Memphis stuff,
all the Memphis stuff.
Anything with Austin Idol?
Mm-hmm.
And him and Savage had some freaking wars down there. Wars.
Absolutely.
Now, wasn't the talk on that is because, you know, Lawler's been trying to get them, but there's questions whether the tapes are still in watchable condition and who has them and all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah, there's been legal wranglings with the Memphis library for a long time.
Yeah, but you know what, Willie? A lot of Memphis stuff. You know the set I'm talking about, Graham, right? That wrestling gold that came out, Meltzer and Cornette.
Cornette, yeah.
Yeah. I bought that at Walmart for like $10 in like 2000.
That's what I was about to say. I found it at Walmart too.
70% of that set is Memphis and good stuff. Rude. Rude's there. There's like at least four Savage Lawler matches in that weird chicken coop cage that they had down there at Mid-South Coliseum. There's a bunch of stuff from Joe Blanchard's San Antonio promotion on that set. So there is a lot of Memphis out there somewhere and decent quality.
Offer to sell it to WWE. You can tweet them.
Yeah.
Send them a tout. Say, hey, look what I got.
The Memphis set of a tout.
Set of a tout.
If you send them a tout, they might find it 3 years later.
Will they give me the camera with it? No.
Send it a tout. Start uploading it to tout 10 seconds at a time.
You know, all right, you just mentioned him a minute ago. We noted last night, this is Lord's Pain, that WWE is planning on keeping Taker and Sheamus off TV until the WrestleMania 31 pay-per-view. There's a feeling that the idea behind keeping Taker off TV is that they want fans to wait and to pay to see his first appearance since losing to Brock, which means he looks like Ed Norton on the Honeymooners right now, so probably be sad enough.
What if Sheamus came out and he's the new Undertaker?
What if Sheamus comes out and costs Roman Reigns the title? Hell yeah! No.
That I would go with.
Yeah, I would go with that too. There's one we didn't throw against the wall. What if the Authority, you know, Triple H brings his boy back? You know, there was a talent meeting, I think, on during the day Monday before the Raw show. I guess before the meeting, before Monday's Raw in Pittsburgh, WWE officials told the talents that if they have any issues, they can bring them to officials. The statement was made to the talents that if they have any issues or problems, they are to bring them to the company's attention right away and not let them go on to be brought up later. The company wants talents to come right to them and talk to them about their problems, whether they are personal or work-related issues. WWE made it clear that they have more than enough people that are willing to help talents out with their issues. It was also said that they are here for the wrestlers and appreciate everything they do for the company. Bill DeMott or the recent controversies from developmental were not brought up in the meeting.
I have inside information that The Miz raised his hand to ask a question and Triple H ignored him.
Well, because the question was probably stupid. That's why.
Or he raised his hand to ask a question and Vince said, good one, Miz Dow.
Dow.
By the way, the Viagra thing, way too corny or funny?
Corny. Nobody cares. I mean,
corny, but those characters are corny, so I don't think it hurt. I don't think it hurt.
Payoff on that? What do you think? Are we going to get a payoff on that?
Oh, yeah, in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, Miz is going to eliminate Miz.
Sandow's winning that thing.
You think?
I think so. I think my guess is it'll come down to those two and one other guy, and Miz gets dumped with the other guy.
Mm. See, I think the big moment is just Sandow eliminated because I think Ryback's going to win that match. But I prefer Miz Dow to win.
So you think, Graham, they're going to do like a Hogan Savage at the 89 Rumble? Kind of like throw him out with the other guy kind of thing?
No, I think they're going to do Virgil Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, they should.
Mm.
Without the $1 million title to smack DiBiase in the face with.
True.
He might hit him with Wiz Khalifa's wig.
Khalifa's wig.
That's a hard wig.
Apparently he was stoned the other night. I fast forwarded that because I can't.
You're kidding me, right?
But yeah, I fast forwarded that because that was just dreadful. Hmm.
Minus one for wearing a John Cena shirt.
I do think it's funny that there's a news bit out that says, you know, wrestlers can go to management with any problems they may have. I would love to see if anyone does.
Hmm.
You know, Kofi Kingston knocks on the door. Hi, I've been the same guy for 11 years.
But it's funny because you
typically. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's funny though because if you hear any of these interviews once they're released or they ask, "Do you talk to Vince?" They all say, "No, we never talk to Vince." So if you can go to the main people with your problems, then who are you going to? People who have to answer to Vince anyway.
Yeah.
So nothing gets resolved.
Mm. What were you gonna say, Graham?
Well, at this point, it's too long. The joke's dead, but I'll go ahead and do it. Kofi Kingston knocks on the door. Excuse me. You guys don't have a great track record with wrestlers that wear baby blue. Can I get something else? And see, that's an old joke, too. That's not just Batista. That's Greg Valentine and Don Morocco as baby faces.
That's right.
If you got that joke, you get major points.
That's right. Don Morocco, can I don't want to wear baby blue. Then just take these steroids and shut up.
Then you're fired.
Yeah. Take superstar Billy Graham and have him give you his pharma, his pharmaceutical companies.
Is he Booker T fired or Bill DeMott fired?
He's George Scott fired. No.
Oh.
Mark Henry will return to TV on this Thursday SmackDown. He hasn't appeared since the November 24th Raw. He has dropped weight since he was last involved in the storylines.
So now he's only 450 pounds.
So what's he doing, Norman Smiley now?
That's the world's skinniest man.
He looks like Cheeseburger from Ring of Honor now.
Well, if he does the big wiggle, I would totally get into it.
It's Shelton Benjamin. It's not Mark Henry. Mark Henry didn't lose weight. It's Shelton Benjamin.
The Haiti kid. On Thursday SmackDown, Henry will interrupt an in-ring promo by Roman Reigns and tell him that he needs to earn the respect of the fans and other superstars backstage. And then Reigns punches him in the face. That's good.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So you need to respect everyone. Punch!
Reigns hits him with a Superman punch and a spear. Wouldn't that kind of turn him heel? And it looks like
a really
Henry.
Cool gimmick.
And it'll be Henry versus Reigns on Monday's Raw from Des Moines. Oh, that's not going to be.
Would be a really cool gimmick for Mark Henry because you said the Haiti kid. What if there was a stable, but they were just like one of those Russian nesting dolls? Whereas, like, Mark Henry, but then you break him open and he's like Big E. You break him open, and he's a smaller, like he's Xavier Woods. And then, like, the last one's like,
wait. I see where this is going.
You break open Cheeseburger.
And then you get to the end, and it's Colin Delaney.
I was going to say Little Boogeyman, but, you know.
Colin Delaney. You know what's sad? Yesterday, it's funny you say Colin Delaney, because yesterday, Rotella was watching, what show was it where he did the, was that Great American Bash 08? When he turns on fucking Dreamer or whatever. I don't know. We're talking about Colin.
It's like the worst turn of all time.
I cannot remember that.
Oh, that's dreadful. That was a fun show, guys. That was one of the fastest 90 minutes I think we've ever done. It's a good time. I mean, I can clean all the shit off the wall that we threw involving the main event.
It was Great American Bash 2008, by the way.
Yeah, it was Bash 08. It was in Nassau Coliseum. That's one Nassau Coliseum show I'm happy I didn't go to, even though I was kind of stoked for Triple H Edge, and then the match really wasn't that great. Come on, man.
You're welcome.
And again, guys, check them out. Wrestling with Optimism and the History of Wrestling podcast right here on Place to Be Nation. He's got a bunch of awesome books. Of course,
I got shirts.
You do have shirts. You do have shirts. Pretty awesome. ProWrestlingTees.com.
It's warmer out, so I mean, like, you don't need your sweaters anymore. Well, you guys probably do because you're in the Northeast.
No, it was actually incredibly tough.
It hit 40. We're in shorts, man.
Yeah, it was like 63 today.
60
but...
in Wisconsin today. I was pantsless.
You're not a heel.
You're kind of like me right now.
You're not a heel, Willie. That's still awkward. I just lost my train of thought. Willie, don't ever do that again. Jesus Christ. ProWrestlingTees.com. Go to the Graham Cawthon store. Got some awesome t-shirts there. We'll be back in 2 weeks, guys. I'm pretty sure Ben Morris will be back.
I'll be
the
selling
senior
t-shirts.
Purveyor of Marvel.com.
That's right.
I'll be selling t-shirts by then, too.
Saying screw the divas.
It'll be a picture of Steve Willie with no pants on.
And a China doll.
You know, Mark Henry Tchotchke. We may have I think we have a special guest. We'll have to wait that night. But that will be our official WrestleMania preview show because it will be the Wednesday before. We're going to break down. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame class, what we think of it. And we will officially break down every match, bitching or no bitching, for WrestleMania 31, March 29th, at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. Four. Graham Cawthon, Steve Willie, Jordan Duncan, Andrew Reich. I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in the main event. We've ended the main event 500 times tonight, and more to come. Mania's on the way. We'll talk to you 2 weeks.
So, Scott, the 49ers got rid of all their players. Now, they got this huge box of steroids in the locker room at Levi's. Do you know anybody who can use them?
The Haiti kid?
The shot bastard. Don't shut up, Reich.
Believe that! Just across your back. I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam.